Welcome to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. Holly is a wife, mom, coach, and entrepreneur. She wears these and many more hats while running three successful businesses, a gym, online counseling and nutrition program, and commercial cleaning company. She brings a unique perspective to everyday life with her spicy, no-nonsense attitude. Holly helps her clients keep it simple with small tweaks that over time add up to big life changes. With that, let's get on with today's episode. Here's my friend, Holly Cochran, an incredible human you need to be listening to every Monday. Hey, family, friends, strangers, thanks for tuning into the Monday Matters podcast. Last week, I started telling you that I have been on a bit of a new learning curve and introducing fasting into my world for hormone balancing. And it's been going really well. For being a complete and utter fasting disbeliever in the past, because I had never, ever had very successful attempts at fasting, I am converting and opening my mind to the fact that when done correctly, and part of it's the power of the thought, I truly believe that if somebody had planted the seed that I could fast on any given day way back when, I probably would have been better at it way back then. But because I believe I'm fasting according to my cycle, it's going much better. So I've completed the 30-day fasting reset that is suggested in the book that I've been talking about, which is Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Pels. So I read this book. They had a 30-day fasting reset plan in it. I've completed that 30-day plan and I am going to do it again, I think. And it says right in there that you can very easily just, you know, build this as a lifestyle. It wasn't as challenging for me to build it in as a lifestyle because the foods that you are to be eating when you are fasting and breaking your fast were already foods that I already am eating. I enjoy, I've been converting to over the years slowly. So the changing of the food, lowering the carbs and, you know, increasing fats and proteins, that part was already there for me. I didn't have to revamp or, you know, recreate a whole lot as far as what my diet consisted of. So it was just simply about timing. If you are having to change the meals that you're eating, as well as the timing for your fasted and eating cycles, then it's going to be a little bit more work. You're going to want to go slow. And they highly recommend that if you are going to try to start fasting, you first of all start introducing the foods that will support the fast. So basically, that's our whole foods. They suggest that you take all that processed foods, the deep fried stuff, the really bad oils, like, you know, deep fried canola oils, all of that packaged food, try removing that from your diet for the most part before you start trying to fast. Because when you are fasting and the only thing that your body's getting for nourishment is that crap, it's not going to feel awesome. You're not going to get the benefits of it. And the toxins that your body gets to release and expel during the fasting process will be greater if you're feeding your body a lot of food that's not whole foods. So definitely suggest working on getting that healthier daily intake of foods, regardless of the time, as the beginning before you start really embracing longer fasts. And then in the Fast Like a Girl book, Mindy Pels talks about sort of a beginner plan and then a more advanced plan. And in the advanced plan, there are 2 days out of the month where a 24-hour fast is highly beneficial. Once you've learned to go, you know, a 15 to 17 hour fast, just pushing that a little bit longer and doing a whole 24-hour fast. But only twice in a woman's cycle is a 24-hour fast highly beneficial. So it's not like you're going to be doing it every Sunday or things like that. What I've learned, which I think is why I'm embracing this, is our sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, they are fed differently. They need different kinds of foods and they enjoy different feeding windows. So for men, when they have testosterone as their primary sex hormone, when you figure out what testosterone enjoys and you nourish testosterone, you can do the same thing all the time and it will work and continue to work. The problem with women is our sex hormones are more complex. Imagine that, we're a little more complicated. And so because our sex hormones are more complex, our fasting and our eating gets to be a little bit more complex. But it's not that hard. Like I was reading this book thinking, oh my God, like I have a hard enough time figuring out what's for supper, let alone what's for supper. And is it a ketobiotic supper today or a hormone feasting day, which I will tell you what both of those things mean. And I was like, I don't know. I can't figure all of this out. And I don't want to keep track of another thing. I was getting this anxiety, like it was almost back when I was doing my Fitness Pal and tracking all of my things. And then I realized it was so much easier than tracking in my Fitness Pal or doing anything like that. So if you are having a little of PTSD at the thought of having to know what day of the cycle you're in and what you should be eating on any given day, relax. It's actually not as hard as it sounds. So the first thing I wanted to share when it comes to the phases of the fasting throughout the cycle is when I talk about each of the phases, I'll tell you the kind of foods you should be eating during that phase. And there are two kinds of diets in a month. A diet not meaning in calorie reduction, but two kinds of eating styles within the month that will better support and promote hormone production, because we produce our hormones at different rates throughout the month. When we first start to bleed on our day one of menstruation, all of our sex hormones are at their lowest and are starting to build. And then as we build our hormones and we are at that peak of ovulation, our hormones require different nutrients and then they drop off again and we go back to building. So certain hormones like different kinds of foods or processed foods better, different kinds of foods better, mainly the carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, obviously. None of our hormones like the ultra canola oil processed, you know, fake foods. None of our hormones like them. But our sex hormones do like carbs differently, do like protein differently, and do like fat differently. So we change it up throughout the month. So at the beginning, I'll tell you about the two different kinds of foods. Ketobionic is the first one. And how Mindy sort of describes the ketobionic diet or foods that you have, it's similar to ketosis, which I've never felt like was the answer for women. And that is what she said. Ketosis works really well for testosterone. Your testosterone and progesterone appreciate being in ketosis, but we are not utilizing those two hormones solely for very long within our cycle. And so we need some of those hormone nourishing, hormone feasting carbs throughout the cycle. So being in ketosis for a long time actually messes up our hormones. So women shouldn't be, it works for a little bit because for half of the month it's working okay. And the other half of the month it's not. And so you can ride that okay part for a while and it'll work, but eventually it all catches up. So her balance is the ketobiotic diet, which just think lower in carbs for the most part and higher in fats. So when it's talking about being, in a fasting cycle and eating a ketobiotic diet, you want to think around 50 grams of net carbs. So here you can use your Fitness Pal if you want. Put in a half a cup of rice and see how many net carbs that is. Kind of get an idea of what 50 grams of net carbs a day looks like. What it means is you're not getting cereal and toast at breakfast, a sandwich or pasta at lunch, and rice and potatoes at supper, and some chips for a snack. That would be more than a 50 gram net carb day. You're going to start having higher fats. So here you can have like an apple with peanut butter for a snack because it's higher. Now, almond butter is probably better. An apple with almond butter for your snack. You want to make sure that if you are going to have one piece of bread, make it into a turkey sandwich, load the avocado and maybe even some hard cheese on there. So it's a little bit higher in fat. When you eat that higher fat and higher calorie dense foods, it's filling. And if you're fasting and your window of eating is smaller and the food that you're feeding yourself is quite filling, you honestly stop being preoccupied about thinking about food. When you start breaking your fast first thing in the morning with some sort of carb like a muffin and a coffee, it just starts spiking your blood sugar and your body starts thinking you should do more and eat more, and you think about food, become preoccupied with food, and it's kind of on the forefront of your mind all day long. But when you are eating those ketobiotic foods or a higher fat, having a handful of nuts, walnuts, pistachios, those sorts of things, you don't need to eat as many times throughout the day. So you can go a little bit longer. She talks a lot about adding oils into things. So if you are going to eat, so you want to get some natural carbs. You do want 50 grams. Focus on fruits and vegetables. So like I said, have an apple, but enjoy the almond butter with your apple. Have some hummus. Have with veggies. I add the MCT oil into my coffee when I'm drinking my coffee in the morning. So there's a little bit of oil and that doesn't take you out of the fasting cycle, but it makes you feel a little bit like you're having, it just is a little bit filling. So it makes it way easier to go throughout the entire morning till I'm eating closer to noon. So ketobiotic, think keto, increase your fats, 50 grams of carbs, 75 grams of protein, and the rest of your day is in fats. You're not going to be eating the ketobiotic diet all month though, because for the other days when you're not eating like that, you're eating a hormone feasting diet. So that is higher in carbohydrates, 150 carbs per day. So on this diet, yes, you can have a sandwich with the bread. You can have, now I have to in prefer that people eat a gluten-free kind of diet versus a higher wheat, but there are some really great breads being made out there now that have the ancient grains and the sourdough, and they're doing a way better job of making bread more digestible. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a gluten-free, but here on the hormone fasting phase, this is when you want your sweet potato and your potatoes, white potatoes. This is where the rice fits into your world. So root vegetables, this is, you know, like make that broccoli and cauliflower casserole, that kind of things. Put the cheese on for some healthy fats. You still want to have some fats and 50 grams of protein. So you can go a little bit more in the carbs, but not all carbs. Take down the protein just a little bit, because you don't want to be way over in calories, and keep those fats fairly consistent. That's the hormone feasting. And that's often where we've made the mistake in the past. We've done a month of all or nothing. And some athletes have understood the benefits of carb cycling, but not necessarily carb cycling around their menstrual cycle. So they'll be doing the carb cycling for the benefits of carb cycling, but not necessarily on the days when the sex hormones are needing those carbs. And so now it's pulling things, the fast like a girl process or thoughts are pulling it all together so that you can be doing the benefits of carb cycling, but around the hormones that love to have those extra carbs, and then going nice and low in carbs and getting that insulin resistance significantly down so that you can manage having them a little bit later because you are taking them out during the ketobionic phase. Okay, so ketobionic, higher in fats, hormone feasting, a little bit higher in carbs. Let me just, I had to do lots of research, so I have pages. Okay, so the phases of when you should be fasting and for how long. So gradually you want to start increasing the window of time between your last meal and your next meal. That's what a fast is. You are breaking your fast so many hours after your last meal. The beginner phase that I'm going to talk about first is fairly manageable. I think most people could do the beginner phase. The first 4 days of your cycle. So if you know what your cycle is on day one, that's the first day of your menstrual cycle. If you don't know what your menstrual cycle is, the recommendation is to match this up with the full moon. Or if you are a menopausal woman, the fasting is hugely beneficial and you can really start anytime, because your hormones are more level. There isn't the surges in the hormones. And your hormones will start to adapt to the fasting time frame and the foods that you are feeding and nourishing your hormones with. So a menopausal woman can really benefit from the fasting cycle that I'm referring to, and the phases and the foods. And you don't have to worry about when should you start this, because you're not going to have the surges in up and down hormones. So just start the 30-day fasting phases and do it for a couple of months, and your body will respond to what you're doing. So either on the first day of your menstrual cycle or at any point, you can start doing the power phase. So in the power phase, at the very beginning, you are low in estrogen. That's, you're low on all of your hormones at the beginning. And so you're wanting to build them up, which means you're not necessarily wanting to feed them carbs, you're feeding them fats. So in the first power phase, you are eating a ketobionic diet. The intermittent fasting for the first few days, days 1 to 4-ish, is 13 hours, which really is not that challenging. Okay. 13-hour fast, most people are probably doing that anyway. Day 5, you can go a little bit longer, 15-hour fast. And then days 6 to 10, that is when you can push it. Your body has built enough hormones up that you can ride that a little bit and have a little bit longer fast of 17 hours. So say 6 p.m. until 11 a.m. and then start eating then. Or 7 p.m. as your last little bit to eat till lunch. So the days 6 to 10, autophagy is what it's called, fasting. I don't know, like when you, in other places, I have found that you need to fast for longer than 17 hours for actual autophagy to happen. But possibly, I guess, obviously it is. Once you have completed those first 10 days of your cycle, you're going to move into ovulation, where you need to feed your hormones just a little bit during that phase. So days 11 to 15 are the manifestation phase. Okay. As you're starting to build up, getting ready to ovulate, you're going to eat the hormone feasting foods during that time. So day 11 to 15, you want to increase your carbs a little bit. And your intermittent fasting time goes down to 13 hours. So you were at 15, or you were at 17 hours. Now you're having a bit of breakfast. For those day 11 to 15, you're going to have something to eat at the 13-ish hour mark. This is the beginner one, remember. We can push this a little bit more as you get used to and get more comfortable with this phase of fasting. After day 15, day 16 to 19, you want to go back into a ketobionic diet, take those carbs back down low, and you can fast a little bit longer again, around 15 hours. You should be feeling like you are at your peak, and that is no problem. During ovulation, you should be feeling pretty fantastic, especially if you keep your carb levels low. So you'll be able to go for a longer time. 15 hours will not feel like a big deal for those few days. During that second power phase, when you are eating the ketobiotic foods, day 16 to 19. After that, we move into what they call the nurture phase. The last 10 days, days 20 to 28 or 30, whatever your cycle is, and you're going to eat those hormone feasting foods. Your body usually tells you, and you start craving them. You start craving the chocolate. You start craving the carbs. Your body's telling you that it would like to have a little bit of that. So feed it. Feed it nourishing whole foods. Make the sweet potato fries and dip them in like a honey mustard, something like satisfying for the sweet tooth. You want to eat your hormone feasting foods like your body's wanting to support your hormones. They'll appreciate that, balance out, and you'll be able to detoxify them better when they're happier. So the last phase, the nurture phase, the last 8 to 10 days, you want to eat hormone feasting foods, and the fasting window should be pretty narrow. It says no fasting in the beginner, and then the advanced one says 13 hours. So the last phase of our cycle, just before we're about to have our period, we don't really need to be fasting because we're doing a really good job of it the other days, and it feels way better to do it the other days. And if it still feels good, you don't have to force yourself to eat. That's the other piece. If it becomes where you don't feel like eating, you are enjoying not having breakfast, you're enjoying going a little bit longer, then you can keep doing that. In the more advanced sort of fasting phases, they say 13 hours is as long as you should probably go. But again, if that doesn't feel right, I don't think anyone should ever be forcing themselves to eat till their body feels ready. Maybe your body's just enjoying those longer periods of time not eating and doing a good job of detoxing during those times. I wouldn't argue. I would, when I do break my fast, during that last nurture phase, it will be with the hormone feasting foods. I will maybe have my granola with some flaxseed and some of my cashew milk. That will be my breaking of the fast during that cycle, because usually that's what I feel like for breakfast after when I'm about to have my period, is I want some of those grains back into my life, and they feel good and they're useful at that point. Okay, I'm just going to quickly go over, if you were a little bit more advanced, how long the fasts would go. So in that first phase, on day 6, you could do a gut reset of 24-hour fast. And you could push, so that was really the only difference, is you can do a 24-hour fast on day 6. And then when you are ovulating around day, or just before ovulation around day 16, you could do another 24-hour fast. Those 24-hour fasts are great for gut resets. And yeah, I found I was a little bit nervous about doing a 24-hour fast. I had never done one before without it being like getting a bad headache and, you know, feeling horrible. I stopped eating at 5 o'clock. I had an early supper on a Saturday, and then we went till Sunday, and I had an early supper on the Sunday, and it was fine. I was at home all day. I did it purposely that way so that if I was totally grouchy, it could just be with my own family. I didn't have to try to, or if I got brain fog or anything like that, I didn't have to try to be pleasant or at work, and I didn't have any of those symptoms. I did not. I drank lots of water. I did have my coffee. That was all fine. I did not have anything really major that would have made me think I'll never do it again. I will totally do it again on day 6 next month. So that was interesting for me. I did not know that I could do that. I'm going to put the phases, the days, in the show notes, so you don't have to necessarily go back and listen to this and write it all down again. You can go and read the show notes. I will also put a link into Mindy's ketobionic and hormone feasting foods so that you can check those out. I highly recommend you start introducing those foods whether you're fasting or not fasting, because basically they are whole foods, fruits, vegetables, lean meats, and lots of fats. It's not anything I haven't been talking about for years now. So those foods better nourish our body. How to break a fast depends on the kind of day you're in. So if you are in a ketobionic fat day, you want to break your fast with something that's higher in fats. So like eggs and avocado scramble, something like that. If you're in the hormone feasting, you can have some grains to break the fast with. A clean protein shake would be a good thing to break a fast with on any given day. So that's a great way to start feeding yourself again, is to break your fast with your shake. If you're already doing a shake a day, then just delay when you start. I hope this is helping you to understand a little bit about fasting. If you have questions though, please reach out to me. I am no expert by any means. This is not any kind of medical advice. I am just walking you through what I'm currently experimenting with and sharing my journey with you. And if you have feedback, or if you are trying these things and finding that they're working for you, or maybe they're not and you want to tell me about them, I love to hear from my listeners. So you guys have a fantastic day. I will catch you all next Monday. Thanks for listening to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Monday Matters, leave her a review, and share this episode on your social media. Should you have any questions about what you listen to or want more info, reach out and send her a message at K2 Health with Holly on Instagram and Facebook. She loves hearing from her listeners. See you next time.